The Unpublished Podcast with Amy and James.
Hello, creatives. We are doing a walk and talk today.
It's a new format where we literally walk around the English countryside and we record a podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it all works. As you know, I'm obviously incredibly stressed by this. any kind of new mic or new mic situation is going to stress me out, but we finally got the wireless two Rode mics working. And we're doing a bit of a silly episode hopefully informative.
We thought, let's play around, let's have some fun, and if it doesn't work, it can just be a stupid conversation between a husband and wife.
So we're playing a game of artist would you rather today. So the way this works is we have got listener questions or listener contributions to the game, and people have asked us either two positives. So like, would you rather have unlimited art supplies or unlimited time to make art? Or you kind of have like a trade-off situation. So someone might ask, would you accept unlimited art supplies, but I think the example I gave was whenever you make art, you have to sign the word poo somewhere on the artwork. So you could reject that or accept that. So people have asked us these questions, and we're going to tell you whether we reject it, we accept it, or which of the either-ors we choose.
And then we're going to say why. Explain ourselves.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just letting everyone know that we're about to walk through a perilous part of this journey.
Literally, we've got 100 metres of flooded field in front of us. I think we're going to make it.
So imagine if one of us goes down.
That would be amazing.
Okay, before we start the journey here, let's start with one. Okay. Write a book that's a bestseller and never write again, or write books that no one reads.
Oh,
thank you for this.
That is a really tough one. I think I know. I think I would write books that no one reads.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I think so too, because like, oh my God, this is perilous. I feel that like I'm never going to write again.
Yeah. It's too important for my mental health.
I think. It's too important for me too. I mean, heartbreaking decision.
Super heartbreaking. And you know, like clout.
Maybe
you get,
write one book that everyone reads, and then I just switch art mediums, and I'd be a painter.
I guess that's the loophole, right? It's like, yeah. Well, I never write again, but I record audiobooks. I feel like that's maybe going against the spirit of the game. But if a loophole's there, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, I agree. You can work around it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Unlimited creative juice or unlimited time to create. For me, this is a no-brainer.
What is it for you?
I want the creative juice.
I agree.
I don't want unlimited time to create. I like time restrictions on my creativity.
I agree 100%. I think if I had unlimited time to create, which let's face it, I basically do. Thank you for the sound effects, Amy.
If I had unlimited
time to create, I would, which I already do, I would just do other things anyway. I think my biggest danger is burning out, even with the amount of time I do currently give to creativity. So... I like to have other hobbies. I'm a balanced person.
When we do our core values, which is, I wank on about it a lot actually. Like when you look, you can Google core values, and we try and like pin down what our top five, top three core values are. James's is always balance.
Yeah, balance is so important for me. Balance is literally key. Like if I feel like in any way out of balance, so that could be like body and mind, it could be specific tasks I'm doing for the week, I essentially immediately burn out or have a breakdown of some kind.
You're very, very in tune with what's balanced and what's not.
So,
creative juice. Like, for me, I have energy issues, right? And I always feel limited by how much energy I have. Like, but I guess that's different to creative juice.
No, I think that's because for me, it's like, okay, if I wrote for 4 hours today, then I wouldn't have energy to do other things I wanted to do, like run the business or read or go to the gym, spend time with friends. So it's like having unlimited creative juice means I can write as much as I want, and then still have heaps of energy for everything else I want to do.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
So that to me
really
would
like
be amazing.
That. Okay, only ever write in one genre or have to switch with every new book? That's from LA Clift. And we love you and we love your work.
We do. I would stick to one genre. I would.
Only ever write in one genre. I have to switch with every new book.
I think I would write...
What genre are you choosing?
I would write, like, this is going to be a cop-out. But science fantasy. So
nah, that is such a cop out. Science fiction or fantasy.
No, because science fantasy is a genre. It's like, okay. It is sci-fi, but you're allowed to use magic. So like Star Wars would be science fantasy.
Okay.
So it would be, I wouldn't be allowed to write any hard science fiction. I wouldn't be able to write anything in an actual fantasy world. It would have to be futuristic.
Yeah.
With magic. I would stick to that, I think, for the rest of my life.
I think this is where we're going to finally part ways. I would choose, whoa, James nearly
almost
went
down.
I would choose a different genre each time. I got so many different ideas.
You kind of do that at the moment anyway.
I do kind of do that. Like right now I'm writing historical fiction, detective, sci-fi, and a non-fic.
So would that be like for me at the moment, say, my last book was a fantasy crime novel? Like, what is that? Is that breaking genre?
Then you just have to stick to fantasy crime, yeah, forever.
So it's not like, that doesn't count as fantasy?
No. It's stricter, this one.
Okay, yeah, I think I would stick to science fantasy.
Read a great or shit review from a publisher or a reader. So let's start with the great. Read a great review from a publisher or a reader.
Oh, that's really interesting. I think...
Thank you, Carrie. This is from Carrie.
Who do I respect more? I think I respect...
The reader.
The reader more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a publisher, I could always, you know, you can always say like, oh, it was business related or...
They're only a reader anyway, you know, really. Yeah. But they've got like a strange lens on it.
Or what about a great review from a critic or from a genuine reader?
Ooh.
Like a, would you rather have a, get absolutely trashed in the... How about this? Would you rather get absolutely trashed in the New York Times?
Yeah.
Or absolutely trashed in a YouTube video?
I don't. From a big booktuber? Shit.
I'd rather get trashed in the New York Times.
Yeah, not a big booktuber, no.
I mean,
we, regrettably, I'm about to cause trouble with my book, Baby, had such a beautiful review from a booktuber the other day, and it helped sales so much.
Yeah.
And she's pretty big, but she's not massive. Imagine what a really big YouTuber could do. But maybe everyone would be intrigued and they'd want to read it.
Because I get the sense that as prestigious as the New York Times might be, I don't get a sense that they're shifting a lot of books.
Yeah, I agree.
Not like a booktuber.
No,
especially
I agree.
For fiction.
I don't think they're doing a lot of action.
Well, so if one of my books ended up in the New York Times, like, they've really changed tack.
Yeah.
Why are they recording science fiction and fantasy suddenly? I guess they do a little bit probably already, but...
Maybe you went full literary, which I do think is in your wheelhouse.
I don't think I got the skill set.
You do. I know you're going to do it, and you're going to be really shy about it.
Ridiculous.
James is a closet literary fanatic.
I read like 2 genuine literary fiction novels a year, and I always do kind of enjoy them. Although I don't know if A Little Life, I don't know if you could call that enjoyment. I certainly read it quickly and couldn't put it down. But
I have so much to say about A Little Life.
I know. Maybe I think it's probably for another time. Okay. What do you think? We could go on a rant.
No, it's all right. I'm going to save it for a YouTube video.
We were also like 10 years late to the party, so
we really
it's a little bit embarrassing. Which is kind of nice because it means that, you know, the cultural conversation is settled around it.
Yeah,
You know the main criticisms and the
main praise. Next question. Have $1 million at a 9-to-5 or be a struggling artist?
That is really hard.
You know, but it's not because we already made the decision. We already took the risk.
I mean,
I know we didn't give up $1 million. Obviously, like I was making no money in my 9-to-5.
Yeah, for us, it was like make no money as an artist or make a tiny bit of money at a 9-to-5. So
the risk wasn't there, I guess. You're right.
I mean, it's hard for us because we come from very privileged and like very up, you know, middle class kind of like never had anything, any problems, never wanted for anything in particular in our lives. So it's easy for us to say,
the struggling artist.
The struggling artist, because for us,
we've never had to experience actual poverty.
Yes, we've never had to experience actual poverty. We've never had to experience ever being afraid of being homeless or afraid of being without food. So it's definitely coming from a place of, you know,
it's easy for us to say, but... I mean, I would like to think I would choose struggling artist, but again, yeah, you're right. I've never really...
$1 million, though? Like, what if you were making $1 million at your job? Like, that would be...
It would be a lot. Yearly.
It's sort of like, I know they're a bit out of fashion at the moment, but I'm kind of on board with the effective altruists. So I think that I would really enjoy... And this is a movement that says, like, well, rather than becoming an aid worker, you should be an investment banker, and you should make $1 million a year, and you should give away 95% of what you make. And then, like, the net good you're going to do for the world is going to be greater, which... I think it's a really complicated argument. I think there's a lot of interesting things in their arguments. And I think part of me would think that I could make a bigger impact on the world, $1 million a year, and giving away $950,000 of
that. And we could still create, we just couldn't be professional.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in this situation, maybe like, are you an investment banker? So are you working 12-hour days? That would be, almost be the biggest deal breaker. It's like, if I could do it 9-to-5,
I mean, this did specify 9-to-5.
Right. Oh, well, yeah. There you go. So.
So yeah. So maybe we're choosing.
And if I could like phone it in, and not. But if I had to like go all out on my 9-to-5, yeah, I probably still. I think it would be really hard for me not to do $1 million because I think of all the good I could make with the.
Yeah.
With the $1 million.
You could give it to artists.
And you could give it to artists, yeah. But. in my soul, of course, I want to be a struggling artist.
Yeah, interesting.
I think that's like would be better for my soul. But then, yeah, it's actually a really hard one.
It was a very good question. Thank you so much. Drawn to books. Okay, we got a lighthearted one from our BFF Lola.
Great.
Only be able to make art depicting poo, mm-hmm. or make any art you want, but the medium is poo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. If you're writing with poo, you're painting with poo.
So I'm writing a story set in the sewage system, basically.
Yes,
I kind of feel like, okay, I'm getting to a road here.
I reckon that could be banging.
Apologies for road noise.
Okay, pause for the busy road.
I think I could really make something out of a story about poo.
Yeah, I agree. And I really don't want to get my hands dirty.
I already like to write stupid fucking stories about weird and dumb things. So, like, I know Lola's answer is she'd write stories about poo.
Yeah, I know that she would do that too.
Because I think she probably would
Look
secretly...
Look at this field!
Oh my gosh, what are they? Are they
rape
seeds?
It's
rape
seed.
Looking amazing.
We walk this field a lot, but today all of the yellow has come out.
It's really turned. Like, it's really spring now in England. And
so beautiful.
Like, if this was a month ago, I wouldn't be able to hold this microphone in my hand because it would be frozen.
It's so frozen, yeah.
I went left, Amy, because I thought the wind would be better. And it would give us more time. I think I'm writing stories about poo.
Okay, yeah, me too.
I don't know. I'm not touching poo. I don't. As soon as you touch poo, like the whole washing procedure is so long. Even if I had gloves on, I'd feel like I'm spending an hour in the shower.
Move on from poo.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Right, 2 successful books per year, but you have to write them with paint. What a shit show. I mean, yes, I'm taking that.
No.
You're not doing it?
No.
But you are writing 2 successful books.
Yeah, but. In pain are my wrists?
Yeah, it would be really
You know,
rough.
How stooped over am I? It's tricky. I need to know more about the mechanism.
You literally just have to paint it. Like, you can paint it however you want.
And then do I give it to the publisher and they translate it?
Yeah, that's what happens. You don't
digital.
Have to transcribe.
So I don't have to transcribe. I don't have to set up my own printing press. My own paint-based printing press. Okay. No, I still think that it seems like too much fuss. I'm someone who hates... Okay, Amy's going to laugh at this. I'm someone who hates fuss. And yet, my life is fuss.
It is weird because you do hate fuss. But, I mean, I guess it's because you have reached your capacity for fuss.
That's what I mean. I've got no more fuss. And to illustrate what this is like, you know, my bedtime routine is like an hour long. My morning routine is so set in stone, you know. It's like, do I add more
fuss?
Paint-related fuss to my writing schedule?
Mm.
It's tricky.
Publish your book, but under the name of your ex or enemy.
I kind of think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, same. And also, I like the idea that, like, my ex or my enemy is just like, what the fuck
what
is she
happening?
Up to?
Yeah. I mean, do they know it's you, though? Or do they just think, oh, there's a book under my name out there?
I think they end up knowing it's you.
Can you send them a private message? And be like, by the way, enjoy the book. You have to do the press tour. They're like, what?
Yeah,
do I get the royalties?
Yeah, you get the royalties.
Yeah.
I don't think either of us have bad enough exes or enemies to really feel strongly about this one.
I agree. I can't think of do I have an enemy?
Yeah.
I feel like I do have an enemy, but like someone who's probably some kind of online personality who I say is my enemy.
Oh, interesting.
But
yeah.
I don't actually feel like they're in
it's
my
like
heart. I find it very
Simon
hard to...
Sinek. Oh my God, what if Simon Sinek gets the credit for all my books?
That would piss you off. Imagine
it
if
would piss me
Simon
off.
Sinek. It was We Need Your Art by Simon Sinek.
I would not like it. That's rough.
I find it very hard to maintain anger at someone for an extended period of time. Like
James is... there's an office quote where Dwight says, luckily my... What is he saying?
It's like, luckily my feelings regenerate at twice the speed of a normal man's.
That's very James.
I feel like I can get like a hot, like 10-second burst of anger, usually at myself, let's face it, and then it quickly dissipates.
We've got a really tricky one from Linescapes, okay. From Gashba here. Mm-hmm. Have a fantastic idea every day, but all the coffee shops worldwide make shit coffee.
Nah, fuck that. Gashba, you know my answer.
I agree, it's not worth it. I'll have occasional good ideas and good coffee.
Although,
thank
like,
you.
If I can still make my own good coffee, maybe I would. If it's like all coffee suddenly tastes bad, then it's a no.
Mm.
I do love tea, though. I do love tea.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be okay because you'd be able to transition to tea. I love tea, but I need coffee.
Yeah, I could not happily, but if I had to live the rest of my life only drinking tea, I'd be like, yeah, I can do that. I will miss coffee. Miss it a lot, but I love tea. I mean, for me though, ideation has never really been a huge
problem. No, you have a lot of ideas.
And you have a lot of ideas too. Like, you say you don't, but you do an Instagram post every day.
That's true.
And I see you pull it out of your ass every day. And
Thank
I'm like,
you.
How is she doing that?
Yeah, it's true. I do have a lot of ideas. I don't have a huge amount of book ideas, but do you know why? It's because I don't have to practice ideation for book ideas. Because yeah. I only need one book idea really like a year or every 6 months.
It's like the Seth Godin thing where he's like, I write a blog every day because it forces me to be out on the lookout for things. And you know, if your brain knows that you've got a blog coming up tomorrow, it's going to spend the rest of, like, you know, in the background, it's going to be working on your idea for your blog. And
yeah.
I find that's the same with your Instagram. Like, all day, you're a little tiny bit thinking about what you're going to write on Instagram. Whereas if you're doing that, I mean, I guess you're probably doing that for your main book idea at the time as well.
I'm always, yeah, so for, like, We Need Your Art, I mean, obviously that's very related to what I share on Instagram, but, you know, I'm always thinking about it. But even, like, Jack and the detective stuff, like, it's on my mind and ideas are on my mind.
Mm.
But I'm not thinking for, I'm not looking for new books.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the time where I'm like, okay, I need a new book idea, I'm kind of, I have to, like, get into gear. Like, I've not got, like, a huge file to go to.
Like your recent idea about the
porn press.
The porn press, the printing press and pornography. I feel like you kind of sat down for a week and you just kind of tensed your brain until an idea came out.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting to watch, actually.
I was like, it's time to think of an idea. And so then I just like trained my RAS feed to start looking.
Whereas
but right now it's not.
I have like 50 notes in my Evernote, which are like Fire Planet, Sports Team Fantasy, which vaguely makes sense to me, but are they really ideas? I don't know.
They are, and you just develop them slowly.
Yeah, yeah. So that is to say, Gaspar, if I would keep my current level of ideation and allow there to be good coffee shops.
Yeah, agreed. Endlessly create. No. I found a better one than that. Where is it?
How rude to the question asker.
Oh, it's because it's only because we've answered a question very similar to that.
I see.
It's not a bad question.
You're not like the person who answered that question. You are a bad question asker.
No, not at all. We've just answered a question exactly like that. Oh, well, here it is. Be kind of bored, but productive, or super inspired, but never finish anything.
Kind of
Tara.
Kind of bored, but productive, I think.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I am anyway.
That's kind of what it's like.
I think that's what it is
I'm
to be an artist.
Bored, but I'm finishing stuff.
And you
no,
start
I agree.
You start to enjoy, obviously, like, without going into hustle culture and without saying that productivity is everything, like, I feel like very rarely do I feel absolutely inspired to sit down and write, but it is satisfying.
It's so rewarding.
Even though it's a bit boring. Like,
and there are some moments which are truly delightful.
Like meditation is,
yeah.
Let's face it, pretty boring.
Yeah.
But it is very satisfying and very rewarding.
Yeah.
Going to the gym, kind of boring.
Yeah.
But satisfying and rewarding. That's what I'm kind of looking for
in
my life.
You know, this morning I was journaling about how, like, I'm on a bit of a bender at the moment trying to finish some edits. And so I've been working harder than normal and for a few days straight. And I've been like a bit bored. And I get this panic. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like living my dream life. And yet I still get bored. Like, what am I missing? Is something missing? But then, no. Like, boredom is a part of this life, both creative and non-creative. And I don't think it's something I need to be afraid of.
I think it's a mistake when artists feel like they need to be inspired all the time. I'm not saying this is what the question asker was saying. But
no,
I think
ranting.
That, we're ranting. I think. And there's I think we've mentioned it before on the podcast, there's a CrossFit podcast that Amy and I have been into a lot in the past, which I'm kind of getting back into at the moment because it's broadly adjacent to sort of like mindset and, you know, accomplishing things you want to accomplish, called Chasing Excellence with Ben Bergeron. And he's a very successful CrossFit coach. And he has this concept, which I think is actually already secondhand when he's talking about it, called the rule of thirds. And it's like a third of the time, if you're trying to do something hard, if you're trying to do something worthwhile, a third of the time, it's going to feel absolutely crap. Like, you're going to feel like you suck at it. A third of the time, it's going to feel kind of okay. And a third of the time, it's going to feel great. So I feel like it's like two-thirds of the time, you're kind of going to be a bit bored.
Yeah, I agree. And I really don't think that's a bad thing.
By the way, we are walking up a hill, which is why we're
slow,
a little bit
slow
out of
down,
breath.
James.
Okay.
Your dreams is like a chronically fast walker, and it kind of pleases me that you're going to have to pipe down.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go much slower.
Yeah.
So I think for me, steady, bored progress is fine. I like that.
I like it too. That's what I choose.
Yeah. And then I guess in this scenario, you can still enjoy the success that comes with, or like the accomplishment that comes with. It's not like it's process is boring, but you still get to enjoy all the other good things.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas I feel like constantly feeling inspired would almost get exhausting after a while.
I mean, it would. When I get like really big periods of feeling very inspired, I can feel, I get very tired because I get very, oh my God, like there's so much to take action on and I can feel overwhelmed.
I agree 100%. I feel like almost being inspired is...
It's taxing.
Is the most taxing part of the creative process. It's like the days where I accidentally write 2,000 words and I'm like, fuck, I fucked myself for like the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, I've got one that's non-writing related, but I like it. Your clothes are too small or you have to say everything twice. That's really hard for James because it's very sensory with his clothes, but also when he has to repeat something to me because I haven't heard it, it makes him insane.
I think I would go clothes are too small because clothes are already too small for me because I have one of these bodies where it's like my quads are way out of proportion to my hamstrings, my calves, my glutes, my hips. Like, yeah. They're just huge. And same with my upper body. Like, my chest is just way bigger than my biceps, my triceps, my shoulders, like, and my back. So,
you kind of live in it.
It's sort of like parts of my clothes are already too small, no matter what. Because either I get something that's massively baggy, or I get something that is the right size for 70% of my body and way too tight for 30%. So, that's my life anyway.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
What? What? Oh, no, oh my God. I almost just lost it. Are you serious right now, Amy?
I agree.
I also have a
disproportionate body, and a lot of the time clothes don't fit me either. I wonder if all of us are going around being like, clothes don't fit me properly because all clothes are just mass produced, like, not to our bodies.
Yeah, it's like we're meant to get them tailored, but who's doing that?
No.
It's like someone should tell you that. They should be like,
buy
half the number of clothes and spend the other half you're going to spend on getting them tailored. Mm. Maybe that's the answer. Mm. I don't know. Mm. Mm. Do we have any more questions?
No, we've run out.
It. It was fun. I like that.
It was fun. Do you have anything else you'd like to talk about today?
I feel bad. And just like, you know, behind the scenes, I feel bad that we didn't advertise the Inspire Collective at all on the podcast.
Yeah, it's done.
That's come and gone now.
It's closed.
It's closed. But
we've got a beautiful cohort and we're very excited.
Everyone who joins. Yeah. We are doing the final edits now on the book.
Yep. We Need Your Art is back from the publishers. You know, I had no idea what to expect. I've had edits back on my fiction from editors before, but never nonfiction and obviously never from a publishing house. And it was good.
Yeah.
I've heard horror stories from other authors who have had editors come back and be like, nope, try again. And so I was like kind of waiting for anything, really.
What was your dream? You had a dream that the editor... the main editor, what did she do? It was a really funny dream.
It was funny. What did she do? She was like, I can't remember.
It was essentially like, delete it and write something completely different, unrelated in any way about like dogs or something.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair,
She didn't do that.
No, she didn't make you write about dogs.
No, she was really lovely. Meg from Penguin, we really love her. And also Ashwin and Laura from Australia and England. They combined all their feedback into a big cover letter. So, like, kind of looking at the main points, and then I'm about to dive into the manuscript and get going on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything behind the scenes?
They're making us say less fucks, which is annoying. Yeah.
But like, I knew they would.
Fewer fucks. I'm so sorry. I got it wrong.
You're a fuck.
I am. Whew. You know, that's, like, probably my most toxic trait, is I'll always correct someone if they misuse less and fewer.
Well, look at you now.
And then look at me. I just did it to myself.
They want us to pull back on the fucks. They want it to be more approachable for people who don't like fuck. I'm like...
If you don't like fuck, don't read the book.
Please. But also,
with the greatest respect.
I guess, whatever.
With the greatest respect.
Any other pieces of feedback that they gave? We've got to pull it through, like, make it much more cohesive from chapter to chapter, which we knew was going to be a problem.
Yep.
I am... really bounce from one topic to the other, and we need like a good solid through line.
And something that's been interesting is that things that Amy's already written long form about before were actually the chapters that she struggled with the most. So the perfectionism and the procrastination chapter in the book.
It fucking sucked. I wanted to, I don't know, do something.
Do something bad. You wanted to destroy the computer.
Yeah.
I feel like there were some dark moments there.
And it was in these chapters that I'd written books about before. So I've got a book on procrastination, perfectionism and burnout already. I was not interested in writing them again.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what we ended up doing was trying to come at them from slightly different new angles so that they were fresh content. But it was still like, I think, for your brain.
Meg noticed.
Yeah, she was like, these chapters are weak. Yeah. And it's like, yep, we know.
I fucking hated it. I hated writing every second of it. Yeah. So we're going to have to work on them. And then, I don't know what else she said. It was all very lovely. I mean, I need a huge amount of positive reinforcement.
You do.
I just like to be told I'm doing a good job. Words of affirmation, baby.
And then simultaneously, you are literally moments away from finishing your current fiction novel, Jack, which you feel like, I feel like you finished three times already.
I finished it so many times.
But I don't know if we told the podcast.
We haven't publicly announced it.
So Amy has a fiction agent now, and the agent had some notes on Jack, which were amazing and so good.
Yeah.
And Amy's just been integrating those.
Yeah.
And we're trying to finish them off today.
Yeah,
so that we can get the
Margaret.
So that we can finish We Need Your Art as well.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been big time, like super exciting to get a fiction agent. Amanda, who was my nonfiction agent, was so helpful in that process, and it's been good. And I immediately went to this fiction agent and she said, what about if we did this? And I was like, that makes the book so much better. So it was like an immediate trust between me and the lovely Margaret. And yeah, so hopefully we're going to be trying to pitch Jack to publishers over the summer.
Yeah.
/ winter if you're an Aussie.
And then meanwhile, I'm working on our science fiction book while Amy does that. I finished a draft of my fantasy book 2 weeks ago. And so everything's going.
We're just being writers, and it feels really nice.
It does feel really nice.
It's kind of boring, but really nice.
I feel like, other than the sort of 2 weeks where we launched the collective, I feel like this is the most full-time writerly I've felt in my life.
I know, same.
And it's actually really, really good.
I know. It would have been funny if we hated it, but I love it. I feel so full-time writer right now, and just, yeah, very joyful. We're going on a little retreat next week, and I'm just very, very happy.
This is something that we've realized, is that Amy really needs to have, like, three dedicated days away from the house.
Yeah,
right.
I think especially to kick this off.
Yeah, to do any, if we want to do any kind of big pushes on the writing.
I really would love to be out of the house.
Yeah.
It just helps. I think it helps almost like a dopamine situation. Like I get too bored otherwise.
Mm.
Like if I know I can go for a walk somewhere new, or if I know I can, you know, go out and try somewhere different for a coffee, like it just really helps the process. Should we ask these dog walkers to be on the podcast?
Let's do that. The last thing I wanted to say was, we are coming, just reminding you that we're all coming to, all of us, the
all
two of
us.
Me, Amy and me are coming to America. We are doing a workshop in LA on the Saturday, 25th, if, I think it's 25th.
Yeah.
And then the following Saturday after that, June 1st, in,
yeah,
San Francisco, we're doing another workshop. So waiting list is going to go up really soon. For you to get involved in that. We know the venue for LA is...
It's called Tea House at Shiloh's. It's so fucking cute. It's going to be like... they create a suite of tea. It's like this beautiful like sober space for creatives. And so we're going to have like a very romantic and indulgent time there as a collective.
And yeah, that's probably our main news.
Yeah.
And do we want to stop before the dog walkers start asking us weird questions?
Yeah, they're not... I can't imagine they'll quite get it.
Okay, cool. Well, okay. We love you all.
We love you and we're grateful
for you. I hope
the
audio was fine.
Yeah, who knows?
I noticed at the end that Amy's holding her mic a lot further away from her mouth.
That's not
me.
True.
You've corrected it. Well done. Well done, Amy.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.